right, take your Bibles, if you will, please, to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm just going to go through this first. It's not really where we're going to hang, but I want you to see something here. Jeremiah was a prophet right before Israel went into captivity. Now, it wasn't just a happenstance that they went into captivity. It wasn't just a fluke of nature or anything. They went into captivity because God had told them that if they will obey his law, do what he asked them to do, you know, that their days will be long in the land. They'll have that promised land that flows with milk and honey. And God, in other words, God's going to bless them and take care of them and be with them. But, you know, people are people, and they get into things, and they get into some other things, and it got a little worse, and God warns them, whoa, we need to get it straightened up here. If you really want to live in the land here, we got to make sure that you're going by the law. And they did for a little bit, and then they back off, and this went over all over and over, back and forth for years and years and years. And it got to a point where it was pretty bad, and Jeremiah says, now, listen, folks, you don't think God's going to actually do this, do you? But the fact is, if you don't get straightened up, God's going to send you to captivity. And by the way, the days they take you captive is not going to be pretty. And he says, the fact is, you might as well go ahead and plant your vineyards and build your houses, because you're going to be there for 70 years. I mean, you know how it is. If someone sells the farm and says, well, it's been in the family for 70 years. That seems like a long time. He says, well, you're going to be in there a long time. But in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back out. But we're going to have to go through that. Now, in this little passage here, Jeremiah is warning the people. And said, so, you know what, you have believed a lie. And you think you can get away with this, but it's not going to happen. Now, I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I'll be honest with you. I think our nation's in trouble. And God has given us and spared us many times over the years. And he has shown himself strong. But in recent years, I think we have forgotten. We have believed some lies. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But let me start here in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say. So God told Jeremiah the prophet, I want you to stand in the gate to the Lord's house. Now, the way the Lord's house was, where the temple was, you know, there was a kind of a holy place and a holy of holies and all this and so forth. So be honest with me, when you're going to talk to the congregation, what he'd do, he would stand at the steps that goes into this whole compound where the Lord's house was. And the people would all be out there. So it says, Jeremiah, I want you to stand out there on the steps of the house of the, let's say this way, I know this is not quite right, but for our application, I want you to stand on the steps of the church. I want to gather all the people around, the ones who are seen to be hot after the Lord and some who are cold. Bring them all around. I said, there's some things I want you to tell them. This is what I want you to tell them, he says. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah. And enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He says, I want you, the Lord has said, I want you to come to hear the word. I want you to come to work. I want to spend time with you. I want you to come into my presence. And God is really saying, even these days, he's saying to our whole nation, come on, come back to me, come into my presence. Go back to the church house. Interesting you sang that song. But, next verse, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, I want you to come in here. I want you to, but the fact is, come in, hear the word of God, hear the law, Hear what God gave us the law for our good, he said. Come on in and hear this, because listen, I want you to kind of change what you're doing, because I promise I would bless you and you can stay in the house, in the house of the Lord, in the land of the Lord here, as long as you were doing right. But he said, I told you that if you can start doing the same stuff that the people were doing when I kicked them out and put you in here, you start doing the same things they're doing, I'll kick you out too. You can't stay here. So he says, come into the gate to worship the Lord and amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you, I'll make it so you get to dwell here. You get to stay here. Verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Watch. Oh, so as long as we go to church, everything's okay. Just go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. God, listen, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm always in church. Well, that's good. That's good. But he says, don't think that's the key. Sitting on a pew every Sunday does not make us a Christian any more than your car, than sitting in a garage makes you a car. Hang on. Verse 5. For if ye throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to do your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Now watch me. It's interesting, the things he wants them to take care of. He wants to amend your ways and your doings if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Do you remember the America? Some of you do. The America where if a man shook hands, the deal was done. Remember that those days? That's what he's talking about. When a man said, you got my word on it. Now, suppose somebody says, you got my word. Yeah, right, put it in writing. I can't take your word down to the lawyer. I can't take your word down to the court, but I can take that piece of paper. And now, what's in the paper? Okay, now sign it. All right, now let's have it notarized. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we got to deal with. But why? Because we can't trust one another. He says, that's not good. That's how far, you see, and the thing is, we're so accustomed to it now that we think we're good even though we can't trust our word. He says, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, watch, shed not innocent blood in this place. We are so mixed up, we don't know what it means to shed innocent blood or not. There's nothing more innocent than a baby. I don't know whether I said this to you the other day or not. I said this to Janet. I think I did. I'm not sure which group it was. Early service, late service, whatever it was. If a baby is born, and it's a month old, is it okay to kill it? Okay. What if that baby was a month old, but it was born 6 weeks premature? That means it shouldn't have been born until two more weeks from now. Right? It should not have been born for another 2 weeks. Is it okay to kill it now? Because it really wasn't supposed to be born yet. Okay, so then if it hadn't been born and was still in the mother's womb, is it okay to kill it? You see what I'm saying? It's the same baby. It's the same baby. And yet we shed innocent blood. Now you say, what about the mother? Save both of them. Do the best to save them both. And if the fact is, if the mother's going to die, wait a minute. If the mother, you don't like this, but if the mother's going to die, unless we take that baby, well then you take the baby, save the mother's life, and do whatever you can to try to save the baby. If you can't, you can't. The goal is to save life.
That's another message. That's free.
Verse 7. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Watch. Verse 8. Behold. He says, whenever you ever see behold in there, means now look. Now look. Now look, y'all. That's what ye means, y'all. All y'all. Okay. Now look, y'all. Look, y'all trust in lying words that cannot profit. You've been sold a bill of goods. And you're trusting these things that are not going to get you where you want to go. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely? In other words, oh, I'll take care of that, and we don't take care of it. Swear falsely. Burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. He said, we're living like the world, and then we show up at the house of God and say, here we are, aren't you blessed? Aren't you glad we're here, that we have blessed you with our presence? He says, come on. Watch. The next day he says, we've been delivered for these abominations. You know what? There are people who now are proud. Listen, we live under grace, understand. But because we live under grace, that means we can do whatever we want to do and still go to heaven. Now, the fact is, if you're truly saved, that's true. But if you're truly saved, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are we perfect? No. But well, we ought to have a new want to. We got a new attitude. We're looking at these things differently. We want to do things right. Why? Because the Lord has come into our heart. But they say, well, we're under grace, so we can do whatever we want. I saw something recently, and I've kind of gotten on this kick here, and you have to forgive me. But one of the things around here right now being pushed so hard is transgenderism. And they want to say that, listen, you have no right to condemn my lifestyle because God's grace has grace. So grace covers it all. Well, what do you need grace for if it's not sin? And if it's sin, don't you want to do right before your holy God? Another message. Verse 11. In this house, which is called by my name, I'm sorry, is this house, which is called by name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. Now, what's he talking about? Do you remember way back with when Samuel was, you know, they talk about the little baby Samuel and a little boy and so forth, Hannah wanted a baby and so forth, and she goes to Shiloh, where Eli was the priest, and his two sons took over, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were sleeping with the women and all kinds of crazy stuff. And by this time, where Shiloh, where the temple, where the tabernacle of God had been, was wiped away. It's gone. I'm not talking about Shiloh down here, okay? It was wiped away. He said, listen, that's where I put my name, right there. If I didn't let that stay, what do you think I'm going to do with you? A word to the wise. That's what he's saying to the people. He says, and now, verse 13, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore I will do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh, and will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out of your brethren, even the whole seed of Abraham. Just we right past, watch this. He says,
Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers. You know what he said? You know this temple I'm standing at right here? God's going to flatten it. And you know what? When the captivity came, it was. So God destroyed his own temple. He said, no, it's his temple to worship him there. He says, you guys aren't worshiping me. He says, you're worshiping you and your sins and what you want to do. One of the saddest things is to go by a church that's boarded up. Ichabod written across the top, if you know what that means. If we're not careful, God will write Ichabod across the church in America. Now, let's have a word of prayer here. And that was long, wasn't it? And I want to talk real quickly on this. Four of the most prevalent deceptions in Christianity. Four of the most prevalent deceptions in Christianity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We've got to do this fast. Pray, Lord, you'll help us to listen fast. These are simple, and yet we just go right past them. I need your Holy Spirit to help me here do what I need to do, what you've called us to do here this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last week I spoke on the topic, be not deceived. Today I want to make some more specific applications. I can make these applications to a general audience such as this because there's no new thing under the sun. Human nature is human nature. We may manifest that nature in different ways, especially as we have as technology increases and the culture changes. But sin is still sin, and we all have still sinned, and pride is still pride, and we all still fight the things of this world, and all that is in the world is still the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Though deceptions may come in different forms today than in other ages, we are still being deceived. The information highway has continued to expand and to become more accessible, which is not always a good thing. A good example of that is what was going on in Washington this week. Many of the, this by the way, I had this message on docket, on the docket before that happened, but many of the executives of social media were being questioned by Congress and condemned by them because they allow much filth and wickedness to be presented on their platforms. And I believe they are accountable for what they allow on their platforms. I really do. On the other hand, I felt that many of the parents present at the hearing were blaming the social media without taking any responsibility for themselves. Who bought their children phones at the age of 8? And gave them internet access? Who has turned computers over to their children without safeguards on them? Who's allowing their children to use these devices without monitoring? I mean, the fact is, yes, we shouldn't be producing it. But listen, it's out there. Sin has always been out there. We've got to watch our kids. Well, he needs a phone. Well, get him one of those that calls home. Calls 911, calls home, calls daddy, and that's about it. Maybe grandma, if that's what you need to do. But that's it. Doesn't get on the internet. Well, I don't want one of those. Everybody else. I don't care. I want your heart. I don't want this. That's why he said, son, give me thine heart. Now, during and since our last election, and even before that, the accusation of misinformation and disinformation has been on the forefront of the news and the media, depending on what side you are. We tend to see and accuse the other side of propagating lies. And though these conversations mostly deal with political candidates and their platforms, frankly, since there is no new thing under the sun, many of these so-called political issues are actually moral issues and should be approached as such. Now, in the Word of God, there are several specific issues given where we are specifically told, be not deceived. Now, I want to give you these four categories of deceptions
that we should be wise enough to recognize, see through the lies, and not be taken in by them. And if you want to call them the devil's phishing scams, you know how it is on a computer, you can do that. It would not be too far from the truth. And just as our computers are the target for unscrupulous people who seek to steal our identities and our very lives, Satan constantly puts lures into the river of life, hoping he will catch some of us. And if he puts enough lures in and does it consistently enough, some of us will begin to recognize this bait, if you will, as something we've seen before. And we won't be fearful of it anymore. And we will no longer care about it, and many of us will take it. Let me give you number one. Now we're going to be in the New Testament here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Back in the New Testament. Turn there, if you will, real quick. Got several things I want you to look at. By the way, we hear things on the internet. Everybody in the world has a blog. You know, they got a podcast. If you have a microphone and a video camera, all of a sudden, you're an expert. That just really burns me up, be honest with you. Everybody is an expert. And over again, in fact, a lot of these things, some of these religious blogs, these guys will stand there, will sit there and pontificate about truth. And you know what? Very few of them ever, I'm not sure I've ever seen any of them actually open the Bible. I saw this other guy says, "We go by the Bible." And so he said it, and so he gave a reference. He never explained. He said, "There it is." And people are just going to, I'll tell you, most people are not going to go back and check up on him. I mean, that scripture could have said the pigs fly for all we know. I gave you a scripture. There we go. Now, then he gives us our opinion. Listen, folks, I don't want you ever to say, "Well, I know this is right because Pastor Walsh said so." Now, there's some churches who they want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. My deal is to get you into the Word of God. I want you to be able to come. Listen, when it comes out, I've got little sayings. I've got a little saying. That's good. You know, faith is action based on a promise or command of God. You know, there's some sayings, and they're good sayings, and that's fine, and you can do that. But the fact is, I don't want my sayings coming out of your mouth all the time. What I want is the Scripture coming out of your mouth all the time. Listen, the Bible also, "Not depart out of thy lips, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Then thou shalt have good success. I want you to know that. That's why we're looking at a lot of scripture. I know we've got to go fast. We're really late. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, here it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers," "abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, he says, now, number one, be not deceived. Watch. You can't get away with sin. You know, so many people say, "Well, it's all right. It's no big deal. It's really not that big. Everybody does it. Look, they're going fine. This is fine. You cannot get away with sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil will say, "Ye shall not surely die." That's what Satan said in the Garden of Eden. God told him not to eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan shows up one day, and he said, "Boy, this is a nice tree here. Eve, what about this?" "Oh, no. God said we're not supposed to eat of it, nor shall we touch it." And actually, God didn't say anything about touching, but that's okay. If you want to put a standard in there and say, "I'm not even going to touch it. I'm not going to eat it. I don't want to even touch it. I don't know why I'm not supposed to eat it. I don't want to get it on my hands." That's okay. It's all right. It's okay. But he said, "Oh, hath God said you shouldn't eat of it?" See, God knows the day you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing or deciding what good and evil is. That way, you're in control. See, God doesn't want you to come up to his level. And man's been trying to come up to his level for ages, ever since. By the way, you can't. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm not going to reach it there. "Hath God said..."
So he says here in first, Paul says here, know ye not. That's interesting. It basically means we aren't that stupid, are we? Have we not figured this out yet? Do we have our head in the sand? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, God said, when it says inherit, that means you'll be given. You'll see God working in your life, the power of God and the blessings of God in that, okay? He said, now, wait a minute. Now, we don't deserve the power of God and his blessing on our lives, but God will give it to us like an inheritance if we give our lives to him as a child. And then it says, be not deceived. Stop lying to yourself and don't let anyone else lie to you and talk you into anything else. Now watch me. He says, neither fornicators. Those are those who are playing with illicit sex. He says, you're not going to see the power and the blessing of God in your life as you could. However that is manifested. Heterosexually, homosexually, transsexually, whatever it is. You play with that, you're not really going to see God's blessing like you should. Nor idolaters. You say, well, we don't trust in idols. When's the last time you really prayed to God with all your heart? Or did you ask some friend to be your help? Now, there's nothing wrong with asking a friend for help. But sometimes it's like we go to a friend hoping they're going to give us the wisdom of God to make the right decision. God put it in black and white. Why do we go here? Why do we think our friend who doesn't know any more than we do going to know what the answer is? He says, nor adulterers. That's folks who go against their marriage, their covenant. Nor effeminate. What does that mean? Men taking on female attributes. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. What's that? Homosexual activities and thoughts. Nor thieves. That's stealing, even stealing little things from work. Well, they got a lot of them here. I'll just put one in my pocket. Walking past the grocery, the checkout counter. And taking a Butterfinger and putting it in your pocket as you walk out the door. It's right there. They'll never know. They don't have a little magnet thing on all those candy bars. I'll just take one and put it in my pocket. No big deal. Look how much money they have. They're not going to miss one. God knows it's missing. Nor covetous. That means consumed with getting what the world has to offer rather than consuming what God has. Watch this. Nor drunkards, drunks and druggies. Nor revilers. What's that mean? People who are tyrants around the house. Angry tyrants. Verbal abusers. Yelling at the kids! Or the spouse or their employees. Revilers. People who just cut people down. So that doesn't seem right. Right there it is. Nor extortioners. That's shady, unscrupulous business practices. It says, none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they're not going to have the power of God in their lives in the presence of God and here or eternity, if really. But, verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. We're washed in the blood of Jesus and sanctified by the word of God. Sanctify them, Lord, in your truth. Thy word is truth. But ye are justified. We're heaven. We can get into heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You know what it just said? If we're washed in the blood and sanctified, those things shouldn't be in our life anymore. But you are sanctified. But you are washed. Don't tell me I can be Don't tell me I can be a transgender Christian or I can be a homosexual Christian and God's good with that. I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I want to see you get clean from that. Frankly, it's because you think nobody loves you. You've got to change it. You're not perfect. You listen to these people. It's like, I couldn't find myself.
Find yourself in here. We're all sinners, but saved by grace. Jesus loves me, this I know. We look right over past the answer because we think it's too simple. Sin has a consequence. Be sure your sin shall find you out. I got to stop. Number two, real quick. Number two, be not deceived. Watch. You can't handle running with the wrong crowd. They will drag you down. 1 Corinthians 15. Just turn over a few pages. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Very quickly. I'm sorry. I got to finish because I finished an early service here. So you got to keep the two together. All right. 1 Corinthians 13. Watch this. Here's a word, Paul. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, what the word communications means associations, companionship. So evil, it means depraved companionship. Somebody that's not doing what God wants to do. And it says they corrupt. It's spoil. Every once in a while, our kids will show up with our grandkids, and when they show up, we buy milk. We really don't buy milk in our house much anymore. It's just the two of us. Do you know what happens after the kids leave and you find it in the back of the refrigerator about 4 weeks later? It actually kind of has clumps in it. Now, I've learned to shake it first to find if there's clumps. I used to just take the lid off. It's spoiled. That's what companionship that's not good will do to our life. It'll spoil our life. It corrupts us. Watch. You may be reading your Bible and even going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But if you're running around with the wrong crowd the rest of the week who do not really care for the things of God, then you know what? There's a good chance you're going to go along with what they say. And you can't expect to maintain a pure life nor the full blessings of God on your life. Do you think you can run around with the wrong crowd and not be affected? He says, you're lying to yourself. Listen, Bible, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's a good question. If you're saved and you want to be sanctified like Christ, why would you want to run with somebody who isn't? Now, watch me, that you may take them out to dinner and lead them to the Lord. But I'm not going to go down to the bar with them. Watch this. I'm probably not going to make it a habit to go to that guy's man cave and sit there and watch him drink beer and watch porn. Well, I'm just there to help him. It'll get you. You help him where you've got it safe. Ask him over to your house. Give him a cup of coffee. Yeah, I don't like that stuff. A sweet tea. Give him a sweet tea and go out on the back porch and talk and you know, maybe get a chance to lead him to the Lord or something. But maybe just be a friend in the right things. I don't know, but listen. If you run around with that, it's going to rub off on you. How many times when you were a kid did you run with the wrong crowd and you got yourself in trouble? Now watch me. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? If you are comfortable with that guy, then are you righteous or unrighteous? If you have good camaraderie, apparently you're okay with what he's doing. Now, it says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I got two examples. Don't really have time to get to them. But in the Old Testament, you go back and read it. 2 Samuel 13. David had a bunch of kids, I hate to say it, by a bunch of wives. God does not endorse a bunch of wives. It's what they did in that time.
But God, you know, God uses us sometimes in spite of who we are. It was part of the culture. By the way, I don't understand why anybody would want to have more than one wife. You realize with every wife you get an in-law, you get a mother-in-law with every one of those babies. You know what I'm saying? Why in the world would you do that? This is not wise. Anyway, he had a child by one wife, and his name was Amnon. He had a child by another wife, and his name was Absalom. And Absalom had a sister by the name of Tamar. And the Bible says that Amnon had a cousin, and it was the son of one of David's brothers named Jonadab. It says Amnon had a friend. Amnon said, you know, I saw Tamar, man, she's hot. She's really pretty. He says, I love her, you know, what am I supposed to do? And his friend, Jonadab, said, well, just pretend you're sick and tell your dad that she'll come and take care of you. And when you get a chance to get alone with her, have your way with her. And so he did. And he raped her. And Absalom, if I remember right, the brother of Tamar, kills Amnon. I get that right? Now we got a problem. All because Amnon had a friend. Bad, what? Evil communications corrupt good manners, good ways of life. Solomon, the king, David's son. David had this great, David did all the battles, and when he turned it over to his son Solomon, it was the grandest nation in all the world. But Solomon got full of himself. You know why? Got too many wives. And got himself in trouble. You can go back and read in Ecclesiastes. He found out, you know, this is all foolishness. What I need is God. Here's the conclusion of it all. Fear God and keep his commandments. Done. That's what he said. Just forget about all this other stuff. It's going to make you happy. But he did some things he shouldn't have done, and God said, I'm going to divide the kingdom. And so there's a guy that wasn't even part of the kingdom by the name of Jeroboam, but his son, Rehoboam, got the kingdom. And Rehoboam wanted to see, let's see how we do this thing. And so he said, what I should do? And so he said, well, you know, your daddy was kind of hard on us. He had a lot of things, but it's because he taxed us up to here. I think he lived in Pennsylvania. And he taxed us up to here. And he said, you can't do this. If you just give them a tax cut and stop taking all their sons to be the soldiers and stuff, they'll love you. Because, listen, they like what they've got. And you ease it up a bit, you'll be good to go. And that's what the older men said, the wiser men who had been around said, that's what you need to do. He said, well, let me think about it. So he goes over to his buddies. And his buddies said, of course, they want to be in his cabinet. You know, he's the new king. They want to get in on it. And, of course, they said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. They were a bunch of Democrats. They said, we got to raise the taxes. We're going to raise the taxes. And they said, we're going to make it hard, and we'll show them who's in charge. He says, sounds good to me. So he says, he goes back to the people and says, I tell you what, you thought my daddy was bad. Just wait till me. Listen, he was heavy with you, and he kind of crushed with him, but I'll put scorpions to you. In other words, it's going to hurt. And the kingdom divided. Why? He had a friend. I got to stop. Number three. These are quick. Be not deceived. What you do will come back to haunt you. What's this say? Galatians 6:7. If you want to put the reference down, I'm going to read because Galatians 6, if you've got a push button Bible, you can get rolled right there quick. But here we go. Watch. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool of God. When he says that this is true, it's true. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You, listen, you can't, this is going to work. This is the way it works. You can try to pretend it doesn't work, but you're not going to make a fool out of God. This is the way it works. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. If I plant corn, am I going to get wheat? No. If I plant wheat, am I going to get soybeans? No. If I plant potatoes, what am I going to get? And I like potatoes. And so anyway, we get what we plant, right? That's the way it works. Now, I got to do this very, very, very quickly. There's a law to sowing and reaping. If you reap what you sow, so don't sow your wild oats and hope for a crop failure. You reap what you sow. Watch. You reap more than you sow. You put one grain of corn in the ground and it comes up a whole stalk with a couple ears on it. And I've seen this way too many times. You drink at celebrations. There's a good chance your kids are going to drink every day. Because every day is a celebration, isn't it? There's a good chance that's what's going to happen. You curse a little, and your kids will curse like a sailor. Nothing against sailors. What we do in moderation, that we shouldn't do, usually our kids do in excess. It says, and watch this, you reap later than you sow. You plant now, you plant corn today, we're not going to have what we used to call roasting ears tomorrow. It's going to be down the road. And just because you're putting it in there, you say, I don't see any sign of that in my kids, we're just fine. It takes time for that seed to grow. And it'll show up later. That's why parents who teach you to do as I say, not as I do, you're still planting the wrong thing. You've seen me do it. Remember those old Coke bottles? You know? Take the cap off of there. Put your thumb on it. Not supposed to do this. And shake that baby up. And you wait for a kid to come around the corner, you know. Now, you know what we do? We put a thumb on our kid instead of saying, "Son, give me thine heart." That's what the Bible says. "Son, give me thine heart." No, we just say, "Do as I say," and we keep them under wraps while they're young, and then they turn 18, and you can't tell them what to do anymore. And you, what you do? You take your thumb off the top. And you don't know where that thing's going to spray. We reap what we sow. Number four, don't be deceived. Luke 21:8, Jesus is speaking. Luke 21:8, Jesus says this. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Don't be deceived by false sources of truth. That's why I don't want you to have faith in Sterling Walsh. That's why I ask you to turn to it. Some of you, I appreciate the fact that you trust me. I really do. But I don't want you to make me the foundation of your faith. I want you to make this the foundation of your faith because we will reap what we sow. I want to sow the word of God in your heart, and it will produce what the word of God will produce, life everlasting. These guys in these blogs and podcasts, and they're all spiritual, and they're all complaining about this and this and that. Very few of them do ever, ever, ever put the scripture in there. Very few. They ever actually put the scripture, quote the scripture, show you the scripture. They give you their word. Don't make show you. A verse, but it may, like I said, it may say the pigs fly. We've got to have the source of truth. Now watch me. I'm sorry. It says in here, and watch, many Christians are confused in their walk with God because they're willing to listen to anyone who names the name of Jesus. They'll read any book that calls itself a Bible. Listen, Jesus is the Word. False representations of Jesus is a lie. And so false representations of the Word of God are lies as well. Things that are different are not the same. Matthew 7, 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity." 1 John 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Goes on, verse 2. "Hereby," listen to me, "hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Ready? "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Now don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you something here. There are a few religions around here which are nice people. But when you ask them, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint is not really the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, it's a misnomer. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, is a church of themselves because they believe they will become gods of their own worlds. If you go far enough in it, that's the ultimate. I'm sorry. People who are Jehovah's Witnesses are very nice people. When I go out, years before the COVID hit, on Saturday morning, I'd be out visiting, and I would stop around lunchtime and stop here at McDonald's and get myself a sweet tea. And sure enough, they were out visiting. There they were, nicely dressed, pleasant people. But they do not, you ask them, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God come in flesh. I'm sorry. The Bible just said, then they're not of God. They're really nice people. They probably make good neighbors. And I'd love to win them to the Lord. They would say they want to win me because I'm the one that's lost. But they don't believe who Jesus is. Now, wait a minute. If we're seeking truth, why are we seeking truth from the secular world, from science so-called, from self-help gurus, from the internet, oh my stars, from blogs and podcasts, from Wikipedia, from atheists and agnostics, from schools who have removed God and Jesus Christ from their institutions, and yet we say we believe in the Bible and the God of the Bible. Do not be deceived. Don't get your truth from the wrong source. Be not deceived. Oh, listen, the only way of keeping yourself from being deceived is by knowing truth. And Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to you. What do we need to do? 2 Timothy, almost done. "All these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Stop arguing, well, I feel, I don't care any of that stuff. What does the book say? Read the book. And make sure you don't have one where they decide, well, we'll just make it gender neutral. We know that's not what this book was. Now, don't just run past superficially. Listen to this. Isaiah 28:9. You can go back and look at it. It says, "Whom shall he," or God, "whom shall God teach knowledge?" Ready? "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" All right? We want to know truth. Now, who's he going to give that to? "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know what he says? Learning the Word of God is not going to happen next week. It's not going to happen next month. You're not going to have it all done by next year. In fact, you're not going to have it all done in a lifetime. The ways of God are higher than our ways and deeper than our thoughts. But it's in there. You can learn some things. You can learn to have a wonderful life. But there's always some other goodie in there you can find. Now, what he said, wean from the breast. What he said, grow up and be cognitive. Think. Some of us are like babies. Well, whatever they say. Don't get mad at me. Just because somebody has a stadium with 65,000 people, and Smiley says, just do what you want. God wants to make sure you live a great life. But on the background says, well, I don't talk about that sin stuff. Because that's not what I am. That's not what I do. Someone asked him directly, you know who I'm talking about. Someone asked him directly, what about homosexuality? Oh, that's between God and them. I don't get into that. Now, I'm not here to hurt anybody. In fact, I'm here to spare you. And the fact is, if we're deceived, we miss out on the inheritance. Many of you know that my parents both passed in the last few years. My dad, actually been 9 years already, can't believe it. My mom passed just about a year ago in February. Almost exactly a year ago, wasn't it? Wow. And my dad did well, and I got inheritance. I got a nice inheritance. You know why I got it? Because I was his child. I didn't deserve any of it. I made a decision a long time ago. It was just my sister and I said, if something happens and mom's in a home for years and years and years, it could eat all that up real quick. I said, if I never get any of it, that's okay. I don't deserve it. It was their money. A couple times, mom would apologize because her and dad were going to go take a trip, big trip or something. So, well, I was going to use some of your inheritance. I said, it's not my inheritance. It's your money. It's your money. It's not mine. It's yours. Enjoy it. Now, they did fine, and we did fine too. There's so many people who don't want to live like God's child. And God says, I want to give you the inheritance of the kingdom. But we say, you know what? I don't want to live there. I want to do what I want right now. And miss out on the inheritance of the kingdom. Just wait. Good stuff's coming. And we miss out. Don't be deceived.